Tomorrow is a celebration of Memorial Day, but I believe that this is still the season for memorial celebration or memorial commemorations. So we are remembering those who have paid the price with their lives, those soldiers in particular who've paid with their lives to make this country safe and the security that we now enjoy here in our nation, here in America. So, but not only that, it is also, we talk about memorial, we memorialize those that have gone before us. You know, we go to, on this day, many go to the cemeteries and we go back and reflect upon their loved ones, our loved ones. So with that, it's a time of memory. And it just so happened, I'm ministering on memory already, so I'd have changed the message so much in order to be appropriate for this season. But we just want you to know that as we remember, thank God, we were talking, driving in, my wife was saying, what a blessing that we have memory. We have memory when we are even able to do the things that we would like to do, to function as we'd like to function. We can all still reflect. We can still remember. That's a blessing from the Lord. Remember his goodness. Remember his kindness towards us. All the benefits that God has, in fact, provided for us. So this morning, I'm going to use as a title, Taking the Time to Remember. That's going to be my title this morning, Taking the Time to Remember, because I would venture to say that if we are to remember or to reflect upon things that have occurred or upon the past, that we must pause, we must take the time, we must take the time to reflect upon all that it took to get us here. What were the things that we were graced to receive in order to get to where we have now, we've now arrived, and understand that the song says, "Grace has brought me safe thus far, but the same grace will lead me on." But if you're not appreciating the grace of the past, then you're not postured to appreciate the present grace, the grace that God has given you that will help you to step into your future. Now, in this, we talk about memory. The scripture that the Lord wanted me to share this morning was out of Joshua chapter 4 and beginning with verse 19. And I really say the Lord wanted me to share this because I had another message already prepared and I was ready to go for it. I was so anxious and eager to preach, but we have to learn how to be obedient. When God said, hold that one, that was for you. I had to put it all on hold, and the Lord said, this is what he wants us to received this morning here in Joshua chapter 4 verse 19. He says, now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, in comparison to or as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried up before us. He dried up before us until we had crossed over, and that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. We pray that these words will impact your heart and your lives in a very special way on this particular Memorial Day. As we begin to look into the scripture for our answers, questions that we have today, There are questions that we have today, but we come to understand that God is answering the questions with the word that he's already spoken. Now, in this, let's begin with this part. We're taking time to reflect upon what got us here. That's what we're doing. We're reflecting on what got us to this place. In other words, you didn't just arrive here. You didn't just show up. It wasn't a situation where you were just teleported into this particular time and space. But what happened, some things happened. There were some contributing factors that got you to where you currently stand. And in this, we realize that for the most part, God is saying, I want you to think about not just where you are, but think about the journey. Think about the journey. Think about the things, because I think one time I shared that the journey is as important as reaching the destination. How God got us here is important as getting there. You see, there are some things that we learn. There are some things that we observe. There are some things that happen to us, because what happens as we journey with the Lord, not only are we arriving at a place or a destination, but we are being changed so that when we finally arrive there, we will fit into the place that we are yet to arrive. See, God is doing something. He is bringing us to place, but he's also placing something within us, or he is reconfiguring us so that when we arrive there, we will be at the right place at the right time, but being the right people to get there. You see, and that's what God is doing here. Now, if we look at this particular scripture, you begin to see the specific time. The people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho, specific place that was assigned for them to arrive. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Joshua set up these stones to give them reminding tokens so that in the future it will stir up the minds of their children and their children's children as to what their ancestors had to go through. He says, now, understand this. It takes time. We reflect upon these reminding tokens oftentimes are there to stir up the mind or the memory, because the memory oftentimes can just lie dormant. And we can be at a place we say, well, this is what I have, and this is what I possess, and it's just there. That's when you take things for granted. It's just there. It's here. I mean, I get up in the morning. I want some breakfast. Breakfast is available. If I want to go to sleep, want to go into the bedroom and go to sleep, there's a door that's there. There's a bed that's awaiting me. When I get there, the air conditioning or the heater or whatever is on to keep me comfortable. So all the arrangements are there. And oftentimes, because we have grown accustomed to them being there, people come or have the tendency to believe that since they were always there, they will always be there. As it was with the things that we had grown accustomed to before we faced this particular pandemic. But then some things happened so that the things that we had grown accustomed to are removed from us. And when they are removed from us, it caused us to long for what we had grown accustomed to. So now let's look at what he was saying. He says that they went through the journey as they began to face the Jordan River. And what God did the same miracle that he did for their ancestors. Because when Israel had faced the sea, here they're the Red Sea parted. And when Moses had stretched out his rod and the Red Sea parted, they walked across on dry land. But then here Joshua comes, the Joshua generation, the next generation shows up. These are the sons of the first generation. Now they're facing not the Red Sea, but the Jordan River. And what God did, he duplicated the miracle that took place with the Red Sea. He did the same thing with the Jordan River. But this time, Joshua said he had them to pick up 12 stones. And when they picked up these 12 stones, these stones were arranged in a particular way. They weren't just, the water did not pass over them to cause them to be erected as a monument, but they took the time to build a monument. They put one stone on top of the other and another stone on top of another, and they continue to put stone upon stone. And he says, the reason we're doing this is because there's going to be another generation that's going to pass this way. There's going to be a generation that's going to come after us, and they're going to journey down the very same path that you have journeyed. But the difference is you're making preparation for the generation that is coming after you. Understand what God desire for us to do. We begin to pave the way. We begin to blaze the path for future generations. That's the assignment God has given us. That we're not merely concerned about ourselves or what we can get out of life, how we might benefit from various things, but the objective that we must always maintain is this: we are paving a path for future generations. So when those that come after us, they will begin to see that the lives that we lived were purposeful. We did not live our lives randomly, but we were intentional to make sure that things were established for them whenever they arrived at the place that we had already passed through. So listen to what he says. So they built reminding tokens to stir up the minds. But the question was, he said, when, look what he says here. He says, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, in time to come. He said, there's going to be a time when somebody's going to pass this pile of rocks, and they're going to stop long enough to ask questions about these rocks. Now, some won't even pay attention to it. There's going to be some that's going to say, oh, they're just rocks. There's going to be some that's going to ignore it. We've seen rocks before, so this is commonplace. These are just rocks. But somebody's going to pass this way. And while they're journeying, the rocks that you have put together as a memorial or a monument, is going to capture the attention of some within the generations that are yet to come. And it's going to be almost like the phenomena of the burning bush, because it wasn't a strange thing for bushes to be on fire in the wilderness. It wasn't a strange thing for a bush, first of all, to be in the wilderness, and one to be on fire. But what happened, Moses took the time to be still enough to watch the phenomena, to see what would happen to the bush. And because he stopped long enough to observe it, he saw that the bush that was on fire was not being consumed. He would not have ever known that unless he had stopped long enough on his journey to observe what would happen to the bush. And then God spoke to him and said, called him by his name. He said, Moses, the reason that this bush was placed there in this wilderness, because I knew ahead of time that you would journey in this direction, that you would come to this particular place at this particular time with this particular history behind you. After having experienced what you experienced in Egypt, it would bring you to this particular place. So I set a bush on fire to arrest your attention. And then I let you know that I knew that you were coming this way because I called you by name, Moses. And just in case you missed it, I called you again, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. He said, for the place that you're now standing is holy. You're at the right place at the right time. Now watch what we're saying concerning the stones. He will cause them to come to that place of the monument of the pile of rocks or the stones that have been erected. And at that particular time, there will be a generation. There will be people within that generation that will stop long enough. And watch what they're going to do. They're going to ask, what do these stones mean? What does this mean? What meaneth this? What is this monument really all about? Now, when they ask that question, that will posture you to tell the story. You're postured then to tell the story. What do these stones mean? They're taking notice of these particular stones. Their curiosity has arrested them. The inquiries are being made. He said, these are your children, which will one day ask the question about your past and your family of origin. What does this mean? What did it mean that you see in our generation? What did it mean? What was your grandpapa all about? My grandpapa was Reverend Oliver Wiley Walker. Who is Oliver Wiley Walker? You understand, he had a daddy, and you keep tracing back our from generation to generation, you'll find, I understand, with other preachers, even before he came on the scene. Uncles are ministers. So what happens, I guess, when we begin to really trace our family of origin, the question among some will be, what did that really mean? What did it mean that people were born in a particular place? They were raised a particular way. They were in a particular neighborhood, and all of those things. Understand, there's significance and there's meaning to all of those things that oftentimes are taken for granted. None of this, I always say that in God's economy, nothing is wasted. In God's economy, nothing is wasted. You weren't born to your family by just coincidence. I'm thinking about some of you parents, and I look at the wisdom of your children. I'm looking at these two couples here in particular, but many others here. But understand, your children are the way they are because you're the way you are. That didn't just happen. You see, they're the way they are because you're the way you are. I see so much of you in them. I see a whole lot of you in your children. I see that you look at, you say a chip after the old, off the old block. I begin to see, even though they might not express it the very same way, the talents and abilities musically and like. It's not always the same expression, but they got something from you. They picked up something from you. And after having picked it up, you see, the grace that was upon your life was transferred into their lives, and they began to develop it. But it all began because of their ignored. That's what the Bible talks about. Honor your father and mother, that your days be long upon the land which the Lord your God giveth you. If they had ignored it, then they could not have taken advantage of that which God gave you that they could take advantage of. So now let's look at this. You take time to notice. You begin to, what does this stand for? What is my pedigree? Where did I come from? What cloth was I cut from? Now what happens? You'll either build a monument or dismantle stones. You'll either build a monument, you'll build the stone as a monument, or you begin to dismantle the stones, cheapening what ought to have been treasured. If you cheapen what you ought to have treasured, then you begin to work against yourself. Are you hearing me now? You're really working against yourself because you're really working against your own destiny. Because God has predestined your life to arrive at a particular place, receive particular things. But when you do not honor that, you're dismantling your own destiny. And you say, you're working against yourself. You say, that's a degree of self-hatred. You see it as, well, I just don't like my mom. I don't like my daddy. I don't like this. I don't like the fact I was born in this particular. Many times people find themselves dismantling rather than building memorials. Memorials, what are memorials? You think about it, Memorial Day, statues erected as reminders of the past. Monuments, in our day we have tombstones sometimes, and then you have statues. You begin to see all the statues that have been erected today. There's a lot of controversy concerning some of the statues or monuments of the past that represented the past, but it represented a negative past. And the question is, what is this really all about when these particular statues are being dismantled? Why are they being dismantled? Because what happened is not that it's that you don't want to remember all of those negatives, but let's look at these things as having, you have overcome, you're overcoming those particular things. So we have to show that rather than building relics to a negative history. And they got all kind of fancy words for it, but you understand what I mean. You have to be very careful that we're not living in our living in this negativity that is working against progress and against us moving forward. So what happens? Remember, some remembered who was buried there. That's what happens on memorial. We're remembering what it represents, but who was buried there? To some, like I said, they cheapen the rocks and they toss them aside. They're careful, but we're carefully and strategically arranged when they cross the Jordan River. They were arranged only, their arrangement are only cheapened by those who don't know their own history. Now let's look at what Joel said concerning this. Joel chapter 1, verse 2. He says, hear this. Now he's talking about a situation that occurred where you see the locusts, the crawling locusts, farming locusts, consuming locusts, all were destroying the crops. He says, hear this, you elders. Hear this, you elders. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. He says, has anything like this happened in your day or even in the days of your fathers? Now we begin to see this with the pandemic. Has anything like this ever happened in your day or ever happened in the days of your fathers? He says, now the experience that you have gone through, he says, tell your children about it. Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children. and their children another generation. He said, what you're experiencing today, let this become a shared experience, what we are going through. God is building memory. God is doing something in our lives, even through what we're going through. Let it be a shared experience. He said, because since your children and your children's children were in your loins, fathers, you carry them with you. They're inside of you. He says, so what happens, what your history becomes their history. What you're going through, they're going through because they're in you. Is that making any sense to you? He says, so now what do? You tell them to your children. This thing we could talk about for a long time, right? This is what we've gone through. But listen, we are going through. We are going through it. We have come through a particular thing. He says, so now what happens when we begin to share our history with generations after generation after generation, he said, generational blessings are distributed. You see, when generational blessings, we talk about generational provisions. Your children and your children's children will ask you questions, but they will also take part in generational blessings. And the grace will be over their lives. When your children ask your fathers in times to come, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel was over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried it up, dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord did the Red Sea. He said, now it didn't just happen. It didn't just happen. The Lord did it. The Lord dried up the Red Sea. He says, and you want to always give credit to the one who did it. He said that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. He said, you'll know the strength of God. You'll know the might of God. You'll know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. That it's the Lord who's almighty. He said, and the reason that you need to know that you may fear the Lord, next generation now, your God forever, that every generation will fear the Lord forever. These are generational blessings, generational provisions, your children and your children's children. See, what happens, you're bringing people back to the place where God moved. You're bringing people back to the place. That's why we have to, when members come to Cross Culture Church, formerly Abundant Life Church, we like to tell them the story of our earlier struggles. We like to talk about those early years, 1980. We're not living there any longer, but we want you to know when we didn't have a house, when we were nomads. We want you to know when it was a situation where we had to ask the question, where are we going to worship? I don't know. But we'll tell you when the Lord tell us where we are to meet. You see that? That's how we were. Lord, tell us where to go and what happened. So we get calls in. We had to communicate that way. But yet at the same time, the little ragtag group of us were very closely knitted together because we wanted to worship. We looked forward to coming together. Just a few of us. But what happened, we had to communicate with one another and we had to believe God for a place. Not just say, well, we're gonna have church. No, we believe in God, and we believe that as God provided last week, he'll provide again this week. What about the resources? God provided last week, he'll provide this week. We don't want to tell the story about the miracles, and many who were with us back then remember how miraculously things would take place. We're talking about the provisions, things that required, I'm not talking about faith that's imagined, but faith that was applied. where we had to say that we're going to believe God to open this door, and we saw this door open. We believe God. We'll speak a thing, and we would say it, and God would honor what was being said. So we have to remember that. And what it did, it built confidence among those who are yet standing with us. We know the enemy can come in and still sow discord and cause separation, division, confusion among a group, but we're talking about what was taking place at that particular moment. God was moving. God moved. And God, the place where God moved. Sometimes I go back to Conley Road. I've gone back to Conley Road, looked at the little building that we used to occupy many years ago. I go back to Free for All Baptist Church. I go back to McAfee and Candler. I look over where the Baptist University was. And I go back to all those places that we at one time occupied. And when I do that, I'm talking about a reflection, and we begin to take a historical trail and begin to look at all those places. I said, this is what God was doing, but I cannot set up residence there. I said, if God did that then, how much more is God able and willing to do now? Now, old landmarks, memory. Let's stay there for a moment. We begin to look at memorials or monuments because they're monuments or memorials to a movement. They're monuments and memorials to a movement. We're watching the hand of God as God is moving. The Bible talks about memories. Old landmarks. Do not remove the old landmarks that your fathers had set before you. There are road signs along the way. Memory erased, and so something else is built in place, because now over in McAfee, Canada, I see the construction that's taking place. And I said, oh, Lord, I remember that building. I said, I remember that steeple. I remember every detail of that particular facility. So when something else replaces it, you see oftentimes that which it once represented begins to fade within the shadows. It becomes a fading memory, because it's almost like it's like fading glory, you see, and people need to be reminded. Let's look at this thing of memory from a different point of view, too. The same thing happens in marriage. The same thing happens in marriages. It happens in families. It happens in communities. Why marriage? Why marriage? Why a ceremony? Why do you have to, why don't you just go on and say, well, I love you, you love me. Why don't we just live together and just go forward from here? No. You see, you want to set a date so that there is a specific time when a covenant is established between you. You see, because now you're bringing God into the equation. You say, we love each other, but our love is inadequate if it's just the two of us. But when you bring God into the occasion, you say, I want you, Lord, to know. And I want it to be your love expressed between the two of us. So you set a date. I didn't lose you, did I? You set a date. And when you set that date, you're saying, on this particular date, I'm going to stand before God and the people and make a vow and say that for the rest of my life, I'm attached to you, and you are mine and I'm yours. And we would let nothing but death separate us, you see, because now what do? You have established something before God and with one another. But yet, after a while, you have bills to pay, you have children to bear, or to raise, and you have all these other things that can happen within your life, that you began to focus your attention primarily upon the things that are happening within the relationship. That it becomes, at that particular moment, you're not thinking as much about how you got there or what it took to get you there. So what happens, you have what's called anniversaries, or even what you call renewal of your vows. Because in this, it is saying, we want now to go back and remember that day so that we can have a refresher of what took place back then. The same thing, why marriage? Why family? Why family? People forget what their family is all about, but there are times when the family, the household must go back and begin to look at what brought, how did you come into being? Because every child, regardless how old he or she may be, there was a time when they were a child. He was your baby. Remember when I'm looking at my granddaughter now, but I also look at the daughter who's raising my granddaughter. I said, there was a time when I was doing to you or with you the very same thing you're doing with her. I used to carry you the way you're carrying her. I used to care for you the way you care for her. You were one day as she is. You were one day the same way. But understand, when people grow up, they forget. And I said, well, I don't care how grown or how old you get, you're still my baby. Is that right, Sister Zimmerman? That's still your baby. So what happens? Do you see? But the person feels that they're so grown that doesn't matter as it once mattered. What about community? Why community? How is it constructed of a community? And when we begin to look at all, you know, what comprises a community? What about this church? What is the construct of this church? This church just didn't happen. But I mean, there are some people that paid and continue to pay for this church to be what it is. But then when you begin to think about all that, then you go all the way. Let's take it all the way to the end. Why God? That's the biggest of all. Why God? Because when you fail to remember these particular things, the same attitude you have towards them is really expressive of the attitude that you have towards God. Then people say, well, why God? Why the church? Why God? Why is this important? The reason that these things begin to fade within the minds of those who once believed is because they get so wrapped up into the day-to-day toil or the activity rather than the intent. You can't just look at the activity. You must pay attention to the intent. You have to relive the moments in history that has significance to our growth and development. Here's what happens. We look at everything is reduced to function. How do we function? As long as people are functional, yet they would be void of meaning. Existing without purpose. Therefore, when you exist without purpose, you're living your life without hope. You talk about how could this generation become a hopeless generation? It's because too much is being ignored or forgotten. Do you see that? Nothing of significance to look forward to. And that's what we see among many. That child, that person that has a gun, that's shooting at people and robbing folk and acting a fool, that was one day somebody's baby. Somebody's baby. But one day there were hopes and aspirations for that life. But yet it's been cheapened because of the fact that there's nothing of significance in his or her life to look forward to. When we lose significance of things that ought to mean something to us and take things for granted, then what happens, instead of the scars of the past, the wounds of the past, or even the things that we celebrate from the past, what happens, we begin to look at them all from a negative point of view rather than a positive point of view. What happens at that point, it is the negatives that are situated and the positives that we begin to allow to fade from our mind. We call that diminishing returns. Diminishing returns, things that we forget about. You say, I remember one time, in fact, we had this recently where one of my family members, I'll put it this way, one of my family members told her mother you don't love me. You don't love me, and you never done anything for me. Wow. I looked at that. Never, you don't love me, and you've never done anything from me, for me. And when you begin to think about anything, that's all inclusive. That meant you have ignored me all of my life. You have denied me of everything of all things, so that nothing positive has ever come from you. And you begin to think about that. I said, no, it is not that the parent had not done anything or didn't love. It is that the child is accentuating the negative and have forgotten all of the positives that have contributed into that particular life. And that happens oftentimes where people, they allow the negativity to overshadow all of the positive contributions that have taken place within that life. But listen, it is not just counterproductive as it relates to relationship between you and that person, but it also, it devalues you and the values, because the values are determined by how much you remember. Your values are determined by how much you remember. If you begin to remember, then it will accentuate value. It will add to value. But otherwise, if you do not do that, then it is cheapening of valuable things, which lead to misuse and abuse. That's how things are misused and abused, because you're not able to appreciate what that thing represents or what it stood for, or even the grace that has been given to you through what you have received. Now, in this, let's go back to God. Some people say, well, God never did anything for me. You see the attitude? You say the person has never done anything for me. It's really saying, God, you've never done anything for me. You follow how this, but you can say, well, I love the Lord with all my heart. Oh, Lord, you're precious. But in your heart of hearts, because of the way you express it towards those that God has used to contribute to your life, it is really saying to God, you've never done anything for me. It reflects our attitude towards God as to how we handle individuals that God has placed within our lives. It is really attitude towards God. We begin to express it that way. So it cheapens the value of things, and it leads to abuse and misuse. So now, and here's what happens. Going forward, it frustrates the grace of God, because what God gave you then, he's wanting to give you more now, but he can't give you any more now until you appreciate what he gave you then. God said, I have so much more I want to give you. I gave you this so that you can build upon it, he said, but you don't appreciate it, so I can't give you any more. So you frustrate the grace of God, that which God has granted to serve a specific purpose. God didn't give you that grace for you to hoard it or to use it in any kind of way. He had a specific reason. And it, we mentioned, to build upon so that it can bless generation after generation after generation. Now, in closing, look at how the Lord did it. Reminders. He gives us reminding tokens. He says, I want you to remember. I want you to remember. Jesus Christ, God so loved the world. We got the end on this. He so what? Loved the whole world. You don't love the world. He said, how can you prove that you love the world? Because he gave his only begotten son. And you say, well, okay, I can handle the son, but I can't handle the father. Why can't I handle the father? Because the father, I see the father judging things. I see the father holding judgment within his hands. I see the father being at a place where things will happen that I don't understand. But God so loved the world that he gave, or he graced the world with the provisions that could bring individuals to a place of being saved. That's a whole other message. A place of being saved, to being rescued from the system that they're attached to. He so loved the world that he gave them what they needed to be rescued from that which would otherwise destroy them as a result of original sin. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, when he gave his son gave his life. His son gave his life. He said, I came to live among you so that you can give full expression of all of your hatred and your vengeance towards me, towards God, your attitude towards God. You now have an instrument to express all of that animosity against. I gave him to you so that you can just, so that all of your wrath can be poured out against him, you see. And he says in that, and I will approve you in your doing so. So the wrath of God was poured out against his own son. But watch what happens. But then, after all of that was done, he died, was crucified, buried in the grave, or put in the cave, in the tomb. But then what happened, God raised him from the dead. He was raised from the dead. God so loved, but then God not only gave his son, but now he's using his son so that we can now receive resurrection life. But here's something that didn't leave Jesus. He still had nail prints in his hands. He still had nail prints in his hands. What are these nail prints all about? The nail prints of the hands of Jesus Christ, the wounds that he carries, the wound that he carried as a result of being nailed on the cross. The marks of those wounds never healed. Those marks remain. He said the reason that they remained is because when he show you the sign that represents the sacrifice that he made on your behalf, he says, it will bring you to the place of recognizing that it wasn't a fantasy, it wasn't a dream, but he's the one that really died for your sake. He said, those were where you ought to have had those nail prints in your hands. You see, the brow, the crown of thorns was to be placed upon your head. All that Jesus Christ suffered through, we fully deserved. And God will make it known to us that we deserved it. Unless we forget, he says, so the ministry, we begin to see all of that and what we've gone through. God reminds us, even through what Jesus Christ had gone through. Now, this is what he says in the last part of this thing on Gilgal, fifth chapter of Joshua. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were in the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their hearts melted and there was no spirit in them, and they no longer because of the children of Israel. And at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, he said, this is your reminding token. Jesus has nail prints. He said, I want you to be circumcised. I want you to be circumcised. That was a covenant with the children of Israel. I want you to be circumcised. He said, that which God will use you to reproduce, I want a mark or a sign or a seal to be placed upon your bodies as you reproduce to remind you of the covenant that is established between you and the Lord. So now we have baptism. You see that? We have baptism. We have baptism. It is a sign. It is a sign that we have fully identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when we reproduce, do you see that? We enter into the covenant of his grace. And as a result of that, you see, we begin to see many others coming into the kingdom of God. So now, what God is saying, he says, the reason that you were married, the reason that you were even baptized, is because God says, I want you to remember this. And the reason we take Holy Communion, there's a whole lot, we take Holy Communion. He said, every time you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do this in remembrance of me. Next week, we'll be receiving that. We do this in remembrance of him. So now, this is what God has given us. And I will say, don't forget the benefits and the blessings that God has bestowed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, but also through one another. So, Father, we thank you so much that you give us reminders. And then you've given us your Spirit so we can commit all things to you and to know, Lord, that you would even bring to our remembrance the things that we otherwise would forget. May we not forget them, but may we always remember. If we can do that song, Always Remember Jesus, that we'll always remember and always be reminded that it is your doing and it's your working, that which is great and that which is glorious within our lives. So we give you the honor, we give you the praise, we give you the glory in Jesus' name.